360 podcast. Jay, do you need some Steve. Slime on your toad?
Absolutely.
Everybody needs some slime
on the toad.
That Toad November rain, baby. Anyway, it is an exciting time to be alive. Muskies are open in the southern part of Wisconsin, and they're about to open up north.
Yeah, another week.
Another week.
Can't
folks.
Wait. It's going to be awesome.
Just
things are shaping up. It's been warming up a lot, and you know, people are just crushing smallmouth right now, which is a good sign. You know, that everything's progressing with the spawns and everything. So, because we had a cold stretch there for a while.
You just caught a big smallie. You did, like a schlub the other day.
Yeah, I went out briefly over the weekend. Got a 21 incher, which is
hey-o.
They don't get much bigger than that. So
nice,
very cool.
Jay getting out there. Busting skulls. So it is good stuff, man. I apologize for being a day late. It's been hot. It's crazy. You guys have been warmer than I have down here. Some of your temps.
Yeah. You're getting the Tennessee heat now, right?
Yeah, we're getting some of it. And I've been out freaking roasting in the sun. And so we're a day late. I've been out running around with old meat paina. So.
The man, the myth, the legend, the actual...
Not meat, yeah, and it's not Meat Paina that we have doing jokes on the podcast, the actual Pete Maina, that one.
Yep, that's awesome.
That has been fun. Guess what we're doing, Jay?
What are we doing?
Filming for Muskie Shop TV, guys, just a matter of a couple more weeks here.
Man, you guys got some fish in the boat,
We did. We absolutely schlubbed a dubbed them. It was interesting. You know, it's so cool when you get to fish with like a guy with like Pete, and I've been lucky. It's like a fish with Book or a fish with Pete and some really good guys, and you learn something every time. So hopefully, like when the show comes out, learn something, and it's cool, you know. And he's just a wicked good muskie fisherman.
I imagine
he's pretty good.
Yeah, so, he's a legend. Yeah. You know. Well, I can't wait to see the footage.
You know, but whatever. I held my own. We'll just say that. So, we'll just leave it at that. Oh man, we had a hoot. I'll tell you this, and this is no joke. Pete Maina off camera is funnier than heck. If you think he's funny on there, off there, it's even better. I can't go there. But
there must have been some serious shenanigans going on. Between hope you got it on film.
If you can imagine. As uncouth as I am and as crazy as he is, it was pretty funny. There wasn't an adult on the boat. So, you know, we might have caught even more had we been had an adult there to keep us in line. So it'll be good. That will be on the episode of Muskie Shop TV.
Yes.
Yes. Other than that, I am beat up and tired and so we're going to keep her moderately brief, but if you've been living under a rock, if you're one of those little bugs that roll up in a ball, like those little potato bugs, if you're a potato bug and you live under a rock and you don't know, be sure to mark your potato bug calendar for July 17th at the Muskie Shop Bash.
Yes. That's
going to be fun.
The list keeps growing every day.
I'm working on somebody. The other illustrious musky angler here to put some stuff together. So we'll be doing that. Jay, we did a contest last week. I can't remember what it is.
What was it? Did?
Oh, it was a new subscriber contest.
So, okay.
I don't, if you remember what we said you would win, let me know.
Was it a Phantom?
It was a Phantom. It was a Phantom.
Yeah, it was a 6-inch Phantom, I think. Okay.
And so the winner of that is Kimberly Slynn. So, Kimberly, get a hold of the boys at the Muskie Shop, and you won a 6-incher. So, that is all yours. But anyway, one thing that we often do here at the illustrious Muskie 360 podcast is we get a lot of emails, which is awesome, but try to paraphrase them down in some regard. A lot of season opener questions, Jack.
Just season opener questions,
yeah.
Okay.
So we're thinking, these are the Northwoodsers. What do I do? Right? This comes up a lot. Do you know when this topic comes up a ton, Jay? right around season opener. It's just like right when you're at season opener, a lot of people asking season opener questions. What do I
There's
do?
Just, I'm just not hearing a lot of turnover questions right now. Why not is that?
Why is that? You think okay. Some guy will write an email next week. What part of me? Can you talk about turnover? That's called thinking ahead, Jay.
Just planning for the future, baby.
Right. What I recommend is fish and then figure it out. But with the lack of pounding on 39 million questions, what are some of our favorite season opener baits? I'm going to go with two off the top of my head. Ye Olde Giant Killer, right?
Okay, okay.
The Meps Giant Killer and the 5-inch Slammerino.
Okay.
Okay.
Those You're talking about season opener in the upper Midwest where I'm
right.
At. Yeah, you're right.
So, you Got know, and what am I going to do with those? So we got this little giant killer. You don't have to burn the frickin' finish off the blade. Don't be afraid to slow roll the giant killers. And the other thing is this. When it comes to small blades, it can be, heck, a Booker number 5 comes to mind quickly, or a 7. The obviously, the giant killer. Do you guys sell Blue Fox anymore, Jay?
We do. You know, they're in a real pinch with delivering though right now.
Sort of, but those, they make like a French blade one. Yeah, that I was thinking of.
Yeah, there's some of those available. Right, yeah, but that Booker, you just talked about that Booker 500 series. That is just a huge opening month kind of thing around where we're at in northern Wisconsin.
And I'm going to give you a trick. It's so funny because literally you're going to see an episode of Muskie Shop TV. It's sort of goofy, Jay, that people are going to have to watch me fish. It's stupid. I don't want to watch me fish. It makes me highly uncomfortable. But it also, it's just like, trust me, I love when it's hoodie weather because I look like crap on camera, you know? I told the wife, I said, I can't wait till it's Muskie Shop hockey jersey in the fall. So I can, you know, be out there in my hockey jersey and not worry.
Yeah, you'll look really cool with that thing.
I don't look like a schlub. Oh, dude, the thing is this. You guys, I cannot wait for the laughs we're going to have when you see me fishing in shorts with Pete. It's hot, and I was like, I couldn't do it. And so I'm wearing, like, I look like a zookeeper, Jay.
Well, what about the day you forgot or your contacts fell out and you had to wear your goofy glasses?
Oh, that's epic. There's an episode,
that's
folks.
Epic, too. Yeah.
You will see me. I have my hoodie pulled around my face. I look like a Teletubby, Jay. The hoodie as tight as I can around my face because of the mosquitoes, and I'm wearing like my glasses. I look like a complete ding dong.
You got the mosquitoes down there too. They're a problem.
You got the mosquitoes and the bugs. Ugh. Oh, dude.
And snakes.
Snakes. Oh, Maina, we were laughing yesterday. We were dodging crap. There's just floating crap everywhere. Mm. And freaking Maina, he was like, I don't need. Well, Steve, there. I don't even need to eat dinner. I got a mouthful of bugs. We ran into like gnat swarms that were so bad. I had them in my eyelashes. So Pete's holding his hat over his face, and I'm sitting there like getting hit in the eyeballs by bugs. It was gross. But anyway, yeah, you guys are gonna get to see me look like a complete dingus most of the time. So I'm freaking fishing and dang. Shorts above my knee, like the zip-off pants. I look like a moron.
All the cool people don't care what they look like on film.
I don't really care. If you're focused on what I look like, then then you might need a boyfriend.
You said floating stuff on the water. What's the cause of that? I mean, high water or something? Or just...
When you're on reservoirs and stuff like that, things flow through. Where it'd be like, like floating logs and all kinds of stuff. We were on some, like fishing like one of your flowages up there where like things will move through throughout the course of the day. So it was a nightmare. We were trying to shoot a thing of like us driving back to the boat ramp, like me and Pete in the boat. And I looked at the footage. We might use it because you can tell that we're both pretty clinched up. we don't look happy. We're laughing about it because he was like, hey, get a shot of us driving the boat. And you can tell we're both white knuckling it. You know? He's not in the drive. Pete's not driving the boat, but he's reacting like he is. He's like, oh. We were playing Dodge 'em Cowboys. But anyway, I was going to give you a tip, and I totally lost the thread because I'm an idiot. Right?
You were talking about the bucktails and
Bucktails.
this
So
spring
here's the
slide.
thing. Old buddy Pete and I, we went from fishing tinsel skirts, right, to hair skirts, to grabbing a pair of scissors and trimming skirts to get strikes.
Okay, now why is that?
Okay. Because
And you want to run them, you're running them slow too, right? Really slow.
not really slow, but we're moving at a pretty good clip.
Oh, okay.
We're not crawling or anything. We're reeling baits. And we were discussing, we were getting follows. This is day one. We're getting follows on small bucktails, but we're not getting biters. Where do you go from there? Okay. And this is some ninja stuff. You want ninja tips? Everybody wants some ninja knowledge.
This is the result of Stephen Paul and Pete Maina putting their heads together.
Which is essentially the IQ of a small chimp.
Oh my goodness.
So, literally, if you put me and Pete Maina and I could not beat a chimpanzee in a game of Battleship.
Individually, you can, but not
Not
together.
together. No, it was a dingus fest. But you go, what do I do in the early season when fish are not hitting big stuff and I'm fishing the smallest stuff I have?
Okay.
Right? Because there's a certain point where you go from musky fishing to bass fishing. Well, I need rods and reels that can handle fish, right? And I need presentations that are beefy enough. And you'll see in an episode, we literally take scissors and cut the skirts down until the fish start hitting them.
That's interesting.
Right? So we're throwing, and it doesn't matter. Livingston makes like the EBS spinner, and it could be a giant killer, it could be whatever. And we start removing material from the skirt, and you go, that the next time we saw a fish, it was a little hotter, and it was a little hotter, and things are going. And now they're eating the thing because the skirt's non-existent and it has a smaller profile in the water. Right? And that was literally the difference between catching a fish and not was a pair of scissors on the boat.
That's very cool. I mean, most people these days, I think when they think about buying a new inline bucktail, they're thinking more, in terms of the skirt, and you're seeing stuff getting fluffier and fluffier.
Right.
And most everything's made out of Flashboo now, which even flares up more when the blades ahead of it pull the drag and make it flare. That's interesting. I like that.
Well, and I mean,
You're reducing the profile of the bait because
and the blade, in the
you're
blade,
trying to match.
yeah. If you look at a blade on a bait, it's moving, right? We do not really have a great. We don't have empirical data that the fish perceives the blade, right? It's moving in a circle. Is that flash or body? But the skirt is body.
For
Right,
sure.
and so what's the one? It's the Shumway giant flasher that's like 9 pounds of marabou. I don't even know if they make those anymore. I'm talking, they're just
Oh, sure.
gigantic. I'm looking at some here hanging in the bait cave. It looks like you could dust your ceiling fan with those things,
Oh,
right?
and it's but it's a big profile
Big
bait for
profile
sure.
bait, and there's a time and a place for that. But you early season guys, if you're telling me I'm getting follows on a Joe Booker 500, and at Northwoods killer is that grape flame. Last year, you guys couldn't keep them in stock. If you guys don't have them, it's time to get them. But if they're moving on that, but they're not eating it, don't be afraid to make a change. Right.
And
And
here's a tip. Here's a tip with the MEPS. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go for it.
Don't break the scissors out. Break out the Zeron split ring pliers.
Well, and that's the thing
Take the
with,
tail off and put a
yep.
treble on the back.
And I was literally going there, which is,
Yeah, and then if you don't like it, you can place the tail, and of course you can interchange the tail colors for, half the price of the bait and make it a completely new bait that way
Right.
too,
You've
but
got multiple baits, and literally one thing that I like to do is keep some tiny grubs, and I'm talking like little grubs, 2-inch, 3-inch grubs. Put one of those on the back of the treble hook. There's just tiny body. That's the back fin of some small bait fish, and it can make things happen. It doesn't look pretty. You know, it's, but you look at, look at a bait that the Rizzo Wiz. There ain't nothing there. You know, that's not a lot of profile. The best season opener tip I can give you is if you're moving them on small stuff and they're still not hitting it, change the bait. Don't change the blade size, change the profile.
I like it. I like it a lot.
That would be the big thing. There, I have to get up in the morning and do this yet again. So we're going to jump in the Q&A and just go for it. Folks, I promise you next week we will go crazy. It'll be a 7-hour podcast. By hour two, we'll just be talking about foods we like. So. Oh, goodness. Mark says, hey, guys, love the podcast. I've been shopping around for polarized sunglasses and wonder what you guys usually use. Everywhere I look, it seems that people either say Costas. Is it Costa or Costa? How do they say that, Jay? Costas. Whatever.
Who knows?
Costas are Oakleys or just gas station glasses. I've really hoped to find some middle ground priced glasses. Thanks for the help. What do you guys think?
Well, the Costa Del Mars are a higher end sunglass. I know we used to carry them in the past, and I mean, personally, I've got not a lot of good to say about them. I think their customer service is lacking when they have a lifetime lifetime warranty on the sunglasses, and you have an issue with it, and they don't take care of you.
Right.
Whatever.
I like the one, and I wear, and I'm just going to throw this out here. Here's a different subject matter for you. And you go, what's the glasses to wear? A bunch. Right? Me and old Beat Mana, or whatever you want to call him. What's his name again? I can't remember.
Meat Pena?
He's pretty forgettable. Okay. I had some old guy from Hayward on the boat, Jay. I don't. Whoever you were, and I'm kidding. Me and old Pete talked about it a little bit. You know, you need glasses that are situationally appropriate, huh? There's not one pair. So if I'm fishing super tannic water, I need a darker, browner lens versus clear water. So there's that to be said. As far as that, I have some insanely expensive glasses, and I have some insanely cheap glasses. And everything in between. There's not a one pair does all kind of deal. I can also think of going to Lake of the Woods with Booker and having problems seeing because I didn't have glasses that match that watercolor well.
Okay.
Right?
I've never thought of the watercolor thing as much as the sky conditions. It's like,
no, you're not
if it's overcast, I'm wearing amber, and if it's bright and sunny, break out the grays.
If you're fishing tannic water, you need amber glasses.
Okay.
I was wearing like dark gray on Lake of the Woods. It wasn't clicking. Had to switch over. You know, there's a merit there. As with all things, money is usually an issue for most people, so there's a lot of options. Flying Fisherman glasses are really good, and they offer a lot of models as far as that.
$25-$30, they're polarized. Right. That's the key, is make sure they're actually polarized because that's what's cutting the glare for you.
The cheap
gas station ones are junk.
They're junk, yeah, and it's not like a well-polarized lens. So I like that brand, wear a lot of those. There's some other stuff I wear. So I have an assortment depending on... You know, if I go, here's what I'd say. If I go on a really dark, cloudy day, right, on gin clear water, I want to wear like a gray smoke lens, but I don't want it to be insanely dark because I need it to let more light in so it doesn't look like it's freaking sunset all day long. But if I'm fishing high, bright sun on gin clear water, I need a really dark lens so it doesn't let as much light through and I can see. So you've got to sort of match the conditions with your glasses. And you're going, well, maybe I'm not seeing enough fish to do that. Do it with a bait. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so a great example for that is take a glide bait and let it fall and see. And I do that with a Phantom often, Jay. I'll take like a walleye collar Phantom. If you don't own a walleye collar Phantom, I'm surprised. You know, that's like a pretty
I'm shocked too. If you must
yeah,
be fair,
yeah, a lot of people own that bait. I'll take
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and throw that out and do an A-B comparison mm-hmm. with the two drastically different sunglass right. colors.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Do that, and not even what I do. You can throw it, but what I'll do is I'll just drop it right beside my feet. Right where I'd mm-hmm. be figurating, right? And go, can I see that bait deeper? And you stop it. Stop the bait, literally. Stop the bait when you can't see it, right? It's not going to be 30 feet down in general. So if it's like 4 feet and you pull the line up and go, well, that's 3 or 4 feet of line. I'm going to switch glasses and when I drop it down, oh, I can see that thing down 2 feet deeper than that. That'll tell you what pair of glasses to wear that day. There you go. You know?
Flying Fisherman's got some good ones. I was just looking at the website. You know, uh-huh. they got the Streamers.
Uh-huh.
They got the Mavericks. They've got the Buchanans. They've got a new model coming out. Did you hear about this? We got them coming in next week.
You're telling me, yeah.
Cody Dalton.
Cody Dalton. He doesn't have a line of glasses. I think you have Cody Dalton
it's a
syndrome,
special
Jay.
West Virginia tent.
No, it's not.
I made that up.
I love it. West Virginia, it's just dirty water. It's just trash. Like when you look through the lenses, there's just trash on the water already. Like they took laser etching and they put a can of Skull floating and then a Clorox bottle. Frickin'. Good Lord, man.
Cody Dalton.
Cody, friggin'. Some of that stuff, man, it'd drive you nuts the way people treat waterways. I've seen more Clorox bottles floating around from people jug fishing.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's unappetizing.
My dad used to call that a cave run loon.
Oh, no.
Oh, there's another cave run loon, son, floating down the lake.
White Clorox up and down in the water.
Yeah. Got me a big catfish on there. Stay off of it. I wrote my initials on that Clorox bottle. That catfish is mine, Fern Squirrel. Freaking cave run loon, baby.
Lot 14.
Lot, yeah. Limb lining, Clorox bottles. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Speaking, I'll say this, Cody Dalton. He had it. If you're a TikToker, if you're under 25, Cody Dalton's got a pretty ripping TikTok where he's showing some really cool tricks with shield rods and stuff. There's one clip we were talking about. He was fishing, and this is
the garbage. Yeah, I saw that one.
It's wicked, and it's like that's a real thing, man. Fish the garbage. Well. The garbage will tell you where the slack water is, but yeah, that's as bad as west by God as it gets.
It's like it looked like mid upper 40-inch fish too. Nailed it.
I
was cool.
At some point I'm gonna force him to film a episode or like a video with me. We'll just call it, you know, white trash fishing in trash or something.
Yeah.
So, just here we go, boys. If you can find that. Bread bag, that's a hot spot. Anyway, yeah, check your sunglasses out. Do it with the drop your bait over the side. If you the deeper the better, and you don't have to spend a ton of money on it. Like you said, those Flying Fishermen's a really solid one. Anyway, Sean says, I've been fishing in Clear Lake in southeast Wisconsin, seeing a ton of fish. Two issues. Number one, I'm seeing fish in shallow sand flats or tight to sporadic weeds, but they won't budge, right? Should I go up and sight fish them? Interesting. When I do get falls, the fish seem to be super spooky. I move an inch or two into a figure eight, and they seem to dart off. My experience elsewhere tells me this is not normal behavior for muskie. Have you ever seen this? FYI, water temps are recently jumped as high as 64, 65. I saw spawning fish in April where they seemed to stop by the first week of May. He said he's been listening to everything. Hope to see everybody at the Muskie Shop. Bachelor, we hope to see you.
Absolutely.
That is...
I think I know where he's fishing, and I think I know the solution.
What's that?
Well, I talked to Bill Schwartz, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Schwartzy.
Schwartzy.
Schwartzy,
use
the
Schwartz.
He's the owner slash operator of Slammer Tackle. And he lives down there. He fishes that Pewaukee, Okachi, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, last week he did well on 7-inch slammers.
Mm-hmm.
He's fishing 7s.
Yep. Probably crawling.
That's what he was running, up shallow.
Yep. Throw the slammers up there. The thing is this, you know, if they're not moving, just leave them alone. Go find another one, go active, back off. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to get right up on them. But yeah, that 7-inch slammer, it might seem a little bit big in the early season, but it's all about speed sometimes too. So give that a go. As far as that, I mean, you're going to have different experiences and different levels of spawn recovery on every different body of water. The one thing I can tell you this, and I'm not up there, but might as well be because I'm talking to everybody up there, and me and Pete were talking about it today on the boat. Those surface temps may have jumped, but it was cold a week and a half ago, you know? Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, Jay, when's the last time you saw snow on the ground? It has not been more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, right. Yeah, exactly. It was last month. I mean,
yeah, it's not terribly. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's not been like crazy, like warm. So when you have that big jump, just because the surface temps are saying the temperature is this, don't expect those fish to fire up, right?
Yeah, it takes a little while, right?
It takes a while. You know, yes, there's a direct corollary between water temperature and fish activity, but there's also the seasonality factor, you know what I'm saying? And you got to look at how far that water permeates. So with those fish, if you're seeing some like that, which is, you know, that's a rarity there if you're seeing them, you know, give them a shot and then get out of there. You know what I'm saying? And so, but try that 7-inch slammer. Give it a shot and let us know how it works out. Jack! Jack says, I really like versatile baits. Don't we all? He says,
yep.
I like baby depth raiders and sand cats. Those are probably my two favorites. With sand cats fitting my style nearly perfectly. Wonderful. Are there any other similar baits out there that provide that kind of twitch, dive, and wiggle? They're such great baits in the hybrid technique that Booker uses and offer a lot of mid-cast triggering options. Wonderful. That was a well-observed endorsement of sand cats and baby depth raiders. I like sand cats. I definitely like baby depth raiders. Other baits that sort of work that well. 7-inch slammers. I think slammers. And when I think in that class of baits, it's got a really nice wiggle. And they work great. Here's your West by God Virginia answer, which is going to be crane baits, 7-inch mm-hmm. slammers. You know, on the list of baits I'm not leaving home with, baby depth raiders, cranes, slammers. What else? If he's doing the hybrid twitch that works that well, that works in that fashion, because, you know, if you like that quicker rise, because a sand cat has a pretty quick rise. So I'm thinking quick rise
does,
baits.
Right, right. What about some of the H2O stuff, some of those cranky nitros, and just remove the weight?
Well, the cranky, man, that's a versatile bait. And the dude's like, I like versatility. Cranky nitro, you can do about anything you want.
Yeah.
Heck, you can take the tail off the back.
Uh-huh.
So that's a really versatile bait of, yeah, it's got this big old Kalin's grub on the back, but now you have a shorter, 4.5-inch bait somewhere in that neighborhood. It's not that big with the soft tail off. So versatility at the roof. And then when you've got the screw-in weight system, there you go, right?
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of viable options there. Cranky nitro. The cool thing with the cranky nitro, too, is this. The other ninja move with that is you can take and put a paddle tail on the back of those things, right?
Sure.
You know, you got Muskie Shop's got Action Plastics. You got grubs and paddle tails and all kinds
Of a salt shaker. Put a salt shaker on there. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, you've got all kinds of creature plastics, all that stuff. play around with it, because you can get different actions, and that is a versatile bait, and it's not going to hurt the bait. You can switch the tails out all day long. And then the weighting, so those screw-in weights, it's the number six machine screw what they use on Phantoms and the Suic weighting kits and all the different baits. They use that same size screw-in weight. Or, you know, you can do that and screw it in the bottom of Cranky Nitro. Now you got a bait that's negative buoyancy. It's sinking. You got a floating bait. You got a negative buoyancy, a neutrally buoyant bait. And then you can have the versatility and the plastic you put on the back. You know, I mean, they come stock. I don't think it's an 8-inch like the cod size K1s, but it's bigger than the Magumbo or whatever it is. You know, it's a big old grub on the back, but like I said.
Yeah, the big and grub. Yeah, the there's big an Octagombo, yeah. too. There's like an 8-inch one, but it's a thinner profile.
Right, so you can really do some interesting things. That's that bait is a bait tweaker's dream.
Yeah.
You know, you can do some crap on the back of that. Heck, you could probably, if you got tricky enough, you can put like a blade on the back too. Right? You can play around with that bait to the degree. That would probably be, at the end of the day, to answer his question, get a Cranky Nitro. You know, there you go. Mark.
H2O.
What are some early topwaters or early season topwaters you guys like in the North Woods? You said I primarily fish above Highway 10. What do you think?
Lake X Little Bastards.
There you go. That's where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
Moving on. Yep.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. Like
dynamite. Tough as nails. They work right out of the box. I know I sent one to you, home to you. I don't know. But anyway, I know you tried it earlier this year, and you're like, okay, I like it.
Oh, I have more than that one now, boys. The thing about those Lake X Little Bastards is when you get, I'm looking here at the wall top, right? Heck, there's like freaking, what is that, American Hardwoods? That thing's a tail prop up 4 feet long. You know, you go your Fat Bastards, your Gooch's Tallywhackers, your Hog Wobblers, your Mud Puppies. All those baits are sort of in that medium musky bait size. And then the other option was for a downsized early season topwater was, well, you're going to throw your top raider and you're going to throw it as slow as you can, or you're going to throw one of these friggin' river to sea whopper ploppers. All right.
Yeah.
Decent bait. But you get one good fish on them, they're usually done. It's usually just done with. I mean, they're not that tough of a plastic, you know.
Yeah, it's a soft plastic tail, and the body isn't
right. It's not it's not musky,
quite as soft as Lake X stuff.
Right, yeah. That little Lake X, man. I've got one of those it's got about 20 fish on it.
That's really cool. I'll admit they're impressive for it's a small bait like that. Yeah.
The other thing I would say is this, and it's not downsized, but it's a slow presentation. Ye old creeper.
Bitten tackle creeper.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Pete and I were talking about this a few times. That's like the only creeper. That's just such a great bait. But we also brought up the one thing in a god I've made fun of him before. The old Savage Gear bat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You know, how much are Savage Gear bats right now, Jay?
Inexpensive.
Right. These
on
are
sale.
Sub $10, and they make a small one. That is a heck of a early season option, that small Savage Gear bat.
Mm-hmm.
Muskies don't know that it's supposed to be a bat. Muskies don't eat bats. Okay?
No, it's a creeper. Yeah, it's a creeper. It runs good.
All right. They should have just, like, made it. No bat to it. It shouldn't have looked like a bat, and it should have just been the Savage Gear Creeper. Okay, we can all.
Yeah, it's too scary for most people.
Well, you might get rabies.
Yeah, bats and snakes. I mean, think about it.
Bats and snakes. That would be one that I would check out there. Chris says, I'm having trouble picking out a reel. I'm seeing a lot of 400 series. Excuse me. I'm seeing a lot of 400 series reels available, but I'm questioning if I need a 500. Am I crazy, or is the 500 too big? What are your thoughts?
What do you want a 500 for?
That's where I'm at.
A,
you can't cast that far. B, muskies don't pull that much line. So basically, you're just putting a bunch of line you're going to throw away under there.
You're adding weight to your whole outfit is what you're doing. You know, I mean, yeah, certain place and certain time, they got their application, no question about it.
Throwing heat fades,
you know, most people I think are resort to those later in the season when they're throwing pounders, you know, stuff like that, big torquey reel like that. But I unnecessary. Yeah. The 400, he's saying 400 size, and 400 is not a reel size that's completely universal. You know what I mean?
True.
In terms of the actual size, that's another thing to consider. Shimano uses a 400 ranking size thing. Daiwa uses that. Oh, let me think here.
Well, if you look at like the
Abu does not.
No, okay. Abu does not.
Yeah. Abu uses basically fives and sixes.
And Akuma sort of is in the, as Akuma always is, a sort of in between.
Yeah.
If you look at like the Komodo, the Komodo's big, the 400 Trunks is small compared to the what you would think would be the 400 series Komodo. You know, the best, I could tell you this, and
That's what I was trying to illustrate.
But the Lexa, the Daiwa Lexa, and the Trunks are sort of in the same ballgame, right? Not too far-ish.
Yeah.
I mean,
a Trunks 400, a Shimano 400 would be approximately the same spool size as a 6,000 frame Abu Garcia.
Right. But
it would be the same as like a 300 series Akuma.
But palming size and casting
size differs.
Is going to differ. Yep. I'll tell you this much. Jay, you actually brought it up last week. We were talking about coming out to the Muskie Shop bash. There's a benefit to going to a store like the Muskie Shop and filling those reels in person because, man, dude, I'm not a midget, and 500 series reels are ridiculous. I just don't like them. It's just too much reel.
Well, come to the bash, we'll try to get, you know, 600,000 of them spooled up on different rods, and you can try them all.
Feel it in your hand. But, you know, it's about personal fit. That's one thing I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. Like, you just don't go and buy sneakers and you go, I want Shimano sneakers. And they make 400 size. Well, do you have a 400 size hand? Right? There's something to be said about spool size, but I'd rather have to turn the handle more than have a reel that just didn't really fit me that well. And for me, it's all about like the way it fits. Is it comfortable? You guys will notice when you watch the Muskie Shop TV, shameless plug, I wear a wristband.
Yes. Yeah, you do.
You noticed that, did you?
You look like Bjorn Borg.
I do look like Bjorn Borg because I'm a tennis pro. I wear a wristband. And you go, why is that idiot? Like, he's not Bjorn Borg or LeBron James or something. That's because I cannot freaking stand when the reel is hitting me in the wrist. I've actually ended up with bruises on my wrist bones from fishing so much. Right? From the side of if you're working jerk baits and stuff. And there's nothing that drives me nuts more than a reel that, like, on the opposite reeling hand sticks out far enough to just really bang in your wrist. If you're fishing 8, 10, 15 hours a day and you're fishing hard, little stuff like that will drive you bonkers. And so that came from wearing that wristband came from fishing abus when that was only left-handed reels I had, because at the end of the day, I didn't want that cold piece of freaking metal laying against my wrist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? And so we're just talking about reel fit and just little stuff like that, where when you start noticing, you spend the time with his equipment, you go, ew. You know, so find a reel that fits. Don't buy a freaking, don't buy a Daiwa Lexa because Joe Booker throws a Daiwa Lexa. Right? They're all practically the same at this point. And to say that unpopular opinion here. To say that a Tranx is better than a Lexa, or is better than a Revo Toro, or is better than a Akuma, is really not true. Right? They might all have different points of failure. They might all have different lifespans. But I would rather have a reel that fit my hands and was comfortable to fish longer. Eh? Makes sense, right?
It does.
You know, just because, let's say, size, the most popular, probably collectible sneaker, is a size 10 Air Jordan, right? You know, it's just like, well, I wear a freaking 12 and a half, so that's not going to fit real well. You know, so find a reel that fits the way you fish, whether it be a power handle, whether it be you got big old hands, you got small hands. Just freaking stop worrying about the brand and find the right fit. That's what I was saying, the shoe thing. Just because your buddy wears size 10s doesn't mean they're going to fit you worth a damn. It's fit and finish and how it feels tactile for you. Anyway, Max says, if I buy an inhaler tube bait spinner bait, will I catch a muskie? Will he, Jay?
If he buys an inhaler, what?
He says, if I buy an inhaler two blade spinner bait, will I catch a muskie?
Oh, Mac, two blade.
Mac, okay. Yes, eventually you will.
Yeah.
Why not?
Stick with it, buddy.
Stick with it. That's you know, that's a blanket statement. We appreciate all the questions, but absolutely, there's nothing wrong with that bait. Just be watching for the seasonality and make sure it's the right fit for the conditions you're fishing. Oh, I saw this one. So we got Jay. You remember the episode where I screwed up and the hard drive failed?
Sure. Yeah, I remember that vividly.
This guy's wife sent me a message. Said, "Stacy." Stacy says she's disappointed in us.
Because of the tardiness of that week, or why?
Because her husband, Josh Leofsky, we were supposed to wish him a happy birthday. Oh. And we didn't. And I said I wouldn't email, and we did. And then we lost
the
hot drive.
Oh, boy.
So I'm sorry, Stacy. I'm sorry, Josh.
A little belated birthday wish. You know.
Happy belated birthday wish. Jay, it's like they think I'm Casey Kasem. Well, we've got a birthday wish for Tina Troutmore of Carlsbad, Nevada. We're trying our best. I'm sorry we're disappointments. Josh, please forgive us. Stacy, we beg your forgiveness. Happy belated birthday. Sorry I'm a ding dong. Austin! You guys are a great source of humor and fishing info. I like how we put humor first. You guys are okay on the fishing info, but you made me chuckle. So. I'm teasing. Austin says, I have two musky rods as of now. Not enough.
It's a good start, though.
Good start. He has a 7.6 medium heavy and a 9.3 extra heavy. So I'm betting that's the Akuma.
Sounds Akuma-ish. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Akuma is like, you know what the musky guys want, Jay? They want They want 9.6s. We're gonna give them 9.3s.
Yeah.
Like Kuma's like,
well, let's put out an 8'1", see if the no one's seen that one before.
They're all
be unique.
Pretty unique. Yeah, they're all over that. We got the 7.7. You know.
Yep.
Akuma
Loomis used to do a 7.7, failed miserably. Yeah. I got one actually. If you want it.
Yeah. I need another rod, like I need an extra hole in the head.
Yeah, I hear you.
Friggin', I do like that. I've told this before, but if you haven't heard it before, that 9.3 Akuma, I don't know about the extra heavy. Well, actually, it probably is their extra heavy because their sizes run weird anyway.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cut the trigger off that thing with a hacksaw, and that's a bad-to-the-bone spinning rod.
That's your spinning rod trick.
Yeah, yep. I use that for client spinning rods, the 9.3 telescoping Akumas. I take a hacksaw, and I cut the trigger off, and it's not hollow under there. And then I take a file, and then I put heat shrink over it, and it looks perfect, and you never know it, and those are my spinning rods. They're great. He says, I have a chance of buying a used shield rod. Wow. He says, it's an 8.6 extra heavy. I like the links for something in between my other two rods, but Already having an extra heavy, is it a good idea for me to buy? Otherwise, no need for two extra heavy rods. Thanks, meow. Well, we just sort of, I didn't see the rest of the question, but we got there. The Akuma extra heavy is going to be like a heavy.
Yeah, exactly. That Akuma you have is not an extra heavy. What does he have for a 7.6? Did he mention?
He's got a 7.6 medium heavy, which is, who knows? Okay. There's a lot of those.
Yeah, go with the extra heavy shield rod, then you've got a more powerful rod for the big stuff.
Or, shameless plug, just buy a new one from the Muskie shop. So it's it's a good price, too. No, I mean, I've got to assume. When it's
and the free shipping on it, too.
Free shipping. If it's a 9.3 extra heavy rod, I don't know of any other 9.3 rods other than Akuma. So that would be the thought there.
Got to be what's it. Yeah.
Sam, what are your thoughts on outdoor jig rippers?
They're awesome.
They're awesome. I think we had a guy ask that already. It might have been another Sam.
We talked about that last week.
It's funny because it's a different email. I'm looking here real quick.
Hey, as a matter of fact, I talked to Aaron from Outdoor Grips a couple days ago because I just ordered more of them, you know?
Yeah.
And he got back to me right away because I emailed the order in, and he says, hey, Jay, I've got a new product. Would you be interested in trying it? I'm like, what is it? And he's got this, you know, that EVA foam material? Well, he's configured it with, I didn't quite understand what else he had on there incorporating on this jig ripper, but it's basically an EVA foam one and same price as the cork one, really like $30.
I mean,
they're not expensive. I think that what I said last week, I think kind of makes sense. You know, they cost less than a power handle. You know what I mean? It's not an investment. You know, and if it's something you're always thinking about, might alleviate some strain on your body and make casting certain baits better for you.
Absolutely.
Try it out.
Freaking-lutely.
What do you got to lose? That new one sounds good, you know, because the cork-handled ones are extremely popular. They sell the best.
That's a great addition. If you're doing any vertical jigging, it'll save you a ton of wear and tear. Anyway, Jay, I've got to get up in the morning. Pete Mana has worn me out. We have just been running around like chickens with our head cut off. So we're going to wrap her early. I promise next week we'll go crazy. Jay, tell them we'll go crazy.
We will go crazy.
We will go crazy. So I will catch you later.